When Jesus drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are numerous details in the reading this evening to which we could appropriately give some attention. But taken as a whole, the message seems to be that some people wouldn't recognize a good thing if God came down from heaven and proclaimed it to them in person. And of course he did. The incarnate Son of God comes to Jerusalem, humble, and riding on a colt, as Zechariah had foretold. But even with the crowd shouting joyful praise, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest," quite a hint about what was actually happening, some of the Pharisees could only complain. "Don't you hear what they're saying? For the sake of all that is sacred and holy, make them stop." Jesus weeps over the city because it did not know on that day the things that make for peace. We could say the one, Jesus, who even then had come to them to bring them peace. Peace with God. Because they refused to know him, because they did not know the time of their visitation, the time when God had remembered them and come to redeem them, they would face utter devastation. They had made the temple The place on earth where God had graciously established his presence. The place where they could come to him and receive his blessings. They had made this sacred space into a marketplace, a den of robbers. How could they be so foolish, we're tempted to ask. It's a good question, but it's one that's best asked as you're looking in a mirror. The one who came to them riding on a colt and weeping for them because they were rejecting him, who came clearing out the temple so that it could again serve its proper purpose. That one is the same one who comes to you and to me in preaching and Bible study and in his true body and blood along with the bread and wine of the supper. What so many in Jerusalem did on that Sunday nearly 2,000 years ago is repeated often today. You do the same thing. When you don't hold his word to be a sacred treasure and gladly hear and learn it. When you don't always come to receive his gifts in the divine service. When you come but are distracted by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, whether you have them or only have them as your goal. And thus the word is choked out and unfruitful in your life. What do you bother going to church for anyway? A neighbor or colleague might ask you. How would you answer? The best answer is something like this. Because that's where God blesses me with forgiveness. Where he gives me peace. Life is hard, that's no secret. Trials and fears, frustrations and disappointments, pain and sorrow, sickness and death. These are the things of which life is made here on earth. And into this mess, Jesus comes through his word and in water and bread and wine in order to bring joy and peace, in order to bring you and me joy and peace. A number of years ago, I had a conversation with someone about Jesus' parable of the great banquet. I'm sure you remember how it goes. Jesus tells of the man sending out word to those whom he had invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But those whom he had invited responded with one lame excuse after another. They would not come. "How could they be so foolish?" the person asked me. I responded, "It's hard to believe, isn't it?" And then pointed to the foretaste of the feast to come God provides to us, and the rich pasture of his word with which he would nourish us, and the holy absolution by which he forgives us. And the question became, why am I so foolish? The next thing to say is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But look what Jesus does. He knew that many would reject him. He knows that you and I all too often will fail to avail ourselves of his gracious gifts. We'll fail to receive them faithfully as the precious treasure they truly are. Yet even knowing this, knowing that his love will often be unrequited, that it's likely to be ignored, sometimes even trampled underfoot, as it is to be gladly received and treasured. Even knowing this, He still comes. He still invites. He still forgives. He still speaks peace. He still brings joy. The fruits of his work, the blood-bought blessings of forgiveness and life, he doesn't hold these back lest they be wasted. No, he dispenses them with joyful abandon. There's no frugality in Jesus' giving. He pours out his forgiveness and peace generously, lest even one be left out. So what if 100 have the word go in one ear and right out the other? As long as one hears and rejoices in his gifts, his life, his peace. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But that didn't cause Jesus to abandon the work he had come to do. Didn't cause him to go back to heaven without accomplishing his mission. No. He continued on, enduring the cross, despising the shame, in order to win salvation for you. And as often as he is rejected still today, he continues to come in the name of the Lord, through word and sacrament, to bring peace with God and to ensure that sinners like you and me, may forever share in his glory. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.